Well, we're going to continue this little series we began a couple of weeks ago called What Does God Love? What does God love? Well, friend, make no mistake about it. First and foremost, God loves the humanity He created. The Word of God says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Word of God says in Peter that God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. God loves you so very much. You are the apple of God's eye. You are so precious to God, so valuable to Him. But, you know, there are certain character traits that God really loves. And the passage comes from Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. And it talks about the seven things that God really hates. And you might be wondering today, rightfully so, now, why are you going to talk about what God loves from a passage that talks about the things that He hates? Because if God hates these seven sins, He must really love their opposites. You agree? All right, let's turn to Proverbs 6 if you have a Bible. Verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension amongst brothers. Last week we talked about the second sin that God really hates. What is that in this list? Proverbs 6, 17. He hates a lying tongue. He hates lying. What is lying? It's a misrepresentation or a distortion of the truth in order to deceive someone. So if God hates a lying tongue, He must love what? A truthful mouth. Exactly. An honest heart. What is truth? What is truthfulness? It's representing or communicating a thing or a situation just as it is, without distorting the reality. That's what God loves. Today we're going to talk about the third sin that God really hates, and then its opposite. What is the third sin from Proverbs 6:17 that God really hates? It's an open book test. It's right there. Hands that shed innocent blood. God really hates that. In other words, God really hates physical murder. It's the sixth commandment and the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 13. It says, God says, "You shall not murder." Right? And I'm believing that all of us here today are not dealing with physical murder. Those that are listening are not dealing with physical murder. But if you are, change your mind and repent before God. Just say, "God, I'm sorry for dealing with this sin," because God hates murder, and if you commit murder, you will incur God's judgment. Today I'd like to look at the deeper spiritual implications of murder that Jesus makes plain in Matthew 5, verses 21 through 22. This is good news, friends. Matthew 5, verses 21 through 22. The deeper spiritual implications of murder that Jesus makes plain and clear. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:21. "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder,' and 'Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.'" Verse 22. "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." What is Jesus trying to say in Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22? Concerning murder. He is saying that not only is physical murder prohibited in verse 21, but that the sinful thought of the heart, which can also lead to murder, is prohibited. What sinful thought of the heart is that in verse 22? It's open book. He also prohibits the sinful thought of the heart, which can lead to murder. Anybody here? Anger, exactly. Anger is prohibited. Just like physical murder incurs the judgment of God, Jesus is saying that if you're angry with your brother without a good cause, it will also incur the judgment of God. I'd like to read you a story. It's from Character First, Character Bulletin Series 3, number 10. And it's called The High Cost of Bitterness. I'm going to read part of this article. July 8, 2003, workers at an aircraft parts manufacturing plant ran screaming for cover as Doug Williams opened fire with his 12-gauge shotgun. Williams had attended part of the annual sensitivity and ethics training session that morning. Before walking out, he reportedly told co-workers, "Y'all can handle this." He returned a few minutes later and opened fire, killing two. He then proceeded to the plant floor where he killed three more people before killing himself. Williams had worked at the Meridian, Mississippi plant for 19 years. Co-workers described him as an angry man who kept score of the co-workers and managers he believed had slighted him. Williams was mad at the world. This man had an issue with everybody, co-worker Hubert Threat told the Associated Press. The shooting shocked the surrounding community. Almost everyone knows someone who works in the building or has a relative who works in the building. Lauderdale County Board of Supervisors President Craig Hitt told an AP reporter. Now, this man had anger out of control. This anger in his heart led to what? It led to murder, right? So that's why Jesus is prohibiting it in Matthew 5, verse 22. Now, let's take some for instances here in your life. Let's make this practical. Say someone says or does something to you innocently, not meaning to offend you or insult you, but you take it to heart. And you get offended and insulted at what this person says. So you take the seed of offense and you plant it in the soil of your heart. And then you nurture that seed of offense. You think about it. You meditate on it. I can't believe they said that to me. I can't believe they did that to me. And you know, friend, if you nurture that seed of offense, it can become a root of bitterness. And I don't want a root of bitterness growing up in my heart. How about you? Amen. That root of bitterness, unchecked, can become a tree of anger. It can become a tree of anger and eventually, God forbid, murder. So Jesus in Matthew 5:22 is saying that anger is like what? You got it, brother. Who said that? Anger is like heart murder. You might be wondering today, well, what do you mean anger is heart murder? This is what it is. It's like killing another person with your heart. It's like saying this, you know what? That person insulted me with what they said or what they did. I can't believe they did that to me. And you get angry in your heart. And then you say to yourself, I want nothing to do with this person anymore. It's like this person doesn't even exist to me. To me, they're as good as dead. What have you done? What have you done? You have murdered that person. Your heart has committed the spiritual act of murder against somebody who said or did something innocently to you. Does that make sense? Jesus is prohibiting a heart which commits the spiritual act of murder against somebody else. In other words, cutting that person out of your life, saying, that person is as good as dead to me. I want nothing to do with them. I can't believe they did that or said that to me. Is that making sense? So if we take what Jesus says in Matthew 5:22 and we apply it to Proverbs 6:17 concerning the third sin that God really hates, we could say what? God hates it when a heart commits a spiritual act of murder against an innocent offender. Yes, God does hate hands that shed innocent blood. But the deeper spiritual implication that Jesus is making real to us in Matthew 5:22 is this, and let me say it again. God hates it when a person's heart commits a spiritual act of murder against an innocent offender. Real quick.
What if me and you was into it, just discussing, and you told me, that you didn't want to have nothing to do with me.
We're gonna get to some of that.
Now, what am I supposed to do? How am I going to be? If I just stop thinking about it, you told me you didn't want to have nothing to do with me. For whatever reason. And I said, well, he said it, I'm leaving him alone.
You still walk with God's love in relation to that person. We'll get to that a little later. Friends, there are offenses that people will willingly and purposefully target at you. Major offenses, such as what? Physical abuse. Let's say you're in a relationship with somebody, and every time you come into contact with this person, try to build a relationship with you, they're knocking you out. They're making you bleed. Right? Or every time you come into contact with a certain person, they're verbally cussing you out like a sewer, up and down, making you feel about this small. And they're just targeting these offenses at you, and they know that they're doing wrong toward you. In this case, righteous anger, God's righteous anger is okay if somebody is abusing you continually, verbally, physically, emotionally. But today I want to talk about innocent offenders, according to Proverbs 6, right? 17. Innocent offenders. What are innocent offenders, friends? Innocent offenders are people who do or say things innocently without trying to hurt or offend you. But you take what they said or did, you take it to heart, and in your heart it becomes a seed of offense, which you nurture. For instance, say you're trying to lose some weight. Say you're trying to lose some weight. And a long-lost friend or a long-lost relative comes to you and says, man, it looks like you've gained a few pounds. Well, that person didn't mean to offend you or hurt you. They were just trying to shoot the breeze. You know, they were just trying to make conversation with you. Say that you're trying to stop smoking, and it's been 2 or 3 weeks since you've smoked. Somebody comes up to you and says, man, your clothing sure does smell like smoke. What's going on? I thought you were trying to stop. And that offends you. They didn't mean to offend you. They were just making an innocent comment. Say you've got a meeting scheduled with someone. Maybe you got a date scheduled with a lady or some type of important meeting scheduled, and the person forgets to show up at 7 p.m. for that meeting on Tuesday night. They didn't mean to offend you. Maybe their schedule got so busy and hectic that it just slipped their mind, and you take it as a seed of offense and plant it in your heart. Say somebody borrows $10 from you and says, I need this $10 to feed myself for the rest of the week. I get paid on Friday. And I promise you, I will pay you on Friday. But when Friday comes along, an unexpected bill comes up in this person's life, and they're not able to pay you the $10. They didn't mean to offend you. They didn't mean to hurt you. They were being innocent. Another bill came up, and they became unable to pay you. See, in every one of these instances, the person did not mean to hurt you. Would you agree? But you took it to heart as an offense. You know, and if you meditate on that seed of offense, if you nurture it, then eventually it can become a tree of what? Anger and bitterness. And God forbid, eventually, murder. So if God hates it when a heart spiritually murders an innocent person, what does God love? Let me say it again. If God hates it when a heart spiritually murders an innocent person, what must God love? Forgiveness. Exactly. You know, offenses will come. If you get up in the morning and you interact with one person or 1,000 people that day, guess what? Those people will say or do something that does not quite sit right with you. They're not meaning to offend you. You know, they may have said or done something innocently, but if you take it to heart as an offense, it can hurt you. You know, I've heard it said one time like this. That offenses are inevitable, but forgiveness is an option. What does that mean to you? Offenses are inevitable, but forgiveness is an option.
But you got the option to forgive or hold it against
them. Mm-hmm.
We can do one or the other.
Right.
But the others can always happen.
Right. In other words, yes, as you go about your daily activities, things will happen that don't sit quite right with you. But you have got to take the option of forgiveness. You've got to choose to forgive your offender. You've got one of two choices. You can either get bitter or you can get better by forgiving your offender. Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, when he was being crucified, the Jews were demanding that Jesus be crucified, right? And Jesus is there hanging on the cross. I mean, in his humanity, he may not have felt like forgiving, but what did he say in Luke 23, verse 34? Exactly. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Friends, we have to settle it in our hearts today that today, before I start my day, I will settle it on the inside that I am going to walk in a spirit of forgiveness. Offenses will come, but I will forgive the offender, the person who insults me innocently. I will choose today to walk and every day of my life to walk in a spirit of letting the offense go. So what is forgiveness? What's the definition of forgiveness? What's the definition of forgiveness? Letting go. That's it. You got it. Forgiveness is releasing a person of the debt that you feel that they owe you. And you know, you might be thinking, well, the least they owe me is an apology for making a comment about my weight or about my smoking or for borrowing $10 and not paying me back. The least they owe me is an apology. Friends, guess what? You have got to release that person even of the need to be given an apology.
What if the person knows about forgiveness and they do things to make you better,
mm-hmm.
and then expect you to forgive?
Next.
People that know it, they do that.
Right. Somebody who's constantly, we talked about that, that if somebody is committing some major offenses against you and they know they're committing those major offenses against you, then at that point, God's righteous anger is...
Then they beg you for forgiveness.
At that point, you've got to pray to God and say, God, what is the best route to take in this situation? They want you to forgive them, but you say, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? In that situation, you probably for a time need to, maybe just for a time, separate yourself from that person and pray to God. Say, God, what do you want me to do exactly? That's a good question. Now think about this. God is a forgiver, right? 24 hours a day. How many days a week? 7 days a week. And what does Paul the Apostle write in Ephesians 5, verse 1? What does he write? He says, be ye therefore imitators of God. And if God is a forgiver 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, what does that say about us as imitators of God?
Do the same thing.
That we're to do the same thing. We're to walk in forgiveness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know what, friends? Unforgiveness and bitterness is like this. How many of us remember here carrying a backpack to school when you were younger? How many here ever carried a backpack? 20 or 30 pounds on your back, right? Maybe 20 minutes to school and 20 minutes back home, and it's extra baggage. It's pretty heavy. You can't wait till you let it down, right? That's what unforgiveness is like. It's like carrying that extra baggage on your back. That's what it's like. It's like carrying that backpack, right? So let's say somebody offended you innocently by something they said or did, and you just take it to heart and you become angry because you've thought about it so much. That person could be here in the United States. You could be in China, but it's like that person is right with you in China. It's like you've got that extra baggage on your back even while you are halfway around the world. Friends, the good news is this. Forgiveness is a walk of freedom. It is a much easier walk not having that backpack, that extra baggage on your back. Forgive your offender. Just let it go. Don't demand an apology. Don't demand that they pay you back. Just forgive them and let it go. Let's say it together today. I'm going to forgive and let it go when somebody innocently says something or does something that hurts or offends me. You know what, friends? Here's the good news, too. If you choose not to get angry, then those relationships that God has in your life will remain alive and well. Do you know that most times God will work miracles in your life through relationships. He has got certain relationships ordained for you to be in. And if you choose not to walk in anger when that person says or does something that's not quite right, well, guess what? That relationship remains intact. It remains alive. It remains well. And God can bless you through that relationship. But if you choose to get angry because you've nurtured a seed of offense, guess what? The very relationship God had for you could die. It's like your heart has committed the spiritual act of murder against an innocent offender. It's like, man, I'm cutting them off. But that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to let it go. You know, and if you've gotten angry with someone in the past who innocently hurt you, and you're still angry with that person, and your relationship with that person is broken, guess what? Friend, the good news today is this, is that you can forgive that person today. You can release them of the debt that you feel that they owe you. God has got a plan. He has got a purpose for each and every single one of your lives. If you focus so much on what that person said or did, and you're offended and you're bitter and you're angry, guess what? Your focus is diverted off of the plan that God has for your life onto this person, this offender. That's not what God is wanting for your life. He's got something special for you, a special plan, a special purpose. So just let it go. Release your offender of the offense and focus on the good thing, the plan, the purpose, the miracle that God has for your life. Amen? Let me give you a personal story here. Back in the last part of 2004, I started working with one of the homeless shelters here in downtown Tulsa. And for about 2 years, two years and maybe 2 years and a half, we were doing a meeting at the shelter every other Monday night. And I just loved reaching out to those people every other Monday night. Had a worship team. I was preaching the word. We were giving away items and just loved ministering. And in January of 2007, the opportunity arose for us to have that meeting every single Monday night of the year. And I just loved ministering at that shelter here in downtown Tulsa. I'm not going to mention the name of the shelter. Don't try to guess it here, please. But anyway, so unexpectedly, in about February of 2008, a little over a year ago, out of the blue, I received communication from that shelter, from the staff, that your meetings will no longer occur on Monday nights. The staff here has made a decision that we're going to put one of our own staff members, our chaplain, in charge of the Monday night meeting. And friends, let me tell you, I was not happy at first. I was hurt, plain and simple. Almost offended. I just could not believe that they could do this to us. Not even give us 2 or 3 or 4 weeks of time. They just said, you know what? This Monday will be your last Monday. Cut. I wasn't happy. I mean, how many here would be happy about something like that if you really loved what you were doing? So they cut us off. And, you know, I've started feeling a little angry about it. My goodness, man, this offense that I feel, this hurt that I feel is almost becoming like bitterness and almost like a tree of anger in my life. But you know what I decided to do? I decided to let it go. I decided not to focus on that. I decided to focus on other opportunities that God had for me in downtown Tulsa. And guess what, friends? I'm here sharing the Word of God with you today. That's good news, isn't it? It's still on Monday, right. I decided to let it go and to focus on bigger and better things that God had for us. You know, it seemed like that one door closed, but when that door closed, God opened up like three other doors. Ministered at the Tulsa Dream Center, substituting for Phil Brown on Monday nights. I'm ministering at the Day Center now, even once a month, and here on Monday afternoons with you guys. So, you know what? Let's not focus on the offense. What that person did or said may have been innocent. Just let it go. Release them of even owing you an apology. Just love them in Jesus' name. And as you let it go and don't focus on it, guess what? You can start focusing on the thing God has for you. The plan God has for you. The good thing in store. Plans to prosper you, give you a hope, and an expected end. Amen? Walking in forgiveness is walking a walk of freedom. Let's say it together. Just let it go. In Jesus' name. Amen.